everybody, and welcome to Minute 114 of Season 5 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1990 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard 2, Die Harder, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Bubble Eat from many different things, including It's Time to Rewind. Welcome back to the show, Bubba.
Hey, it's always good to be here.
Yes it is. There you go, that's it. That's it. So, minute 114 begins with ambulances converging on the planes and ends with Holly standing in the doorway, ready to jump. Don't jump. So yesterday we ended things with, the Northeast Airline flight coming to a complete stop. And they opened up the evacuation chutes, and everyone started getting off the plane. And this minute begins with the emergency crews getting closer to the plane. Now, if there are planes still landing, isn't that a little dangerous?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of. You have planes actively landing, and now you are filling this runway with a dozen emergency vehicles with planes hurtling towards them.
That's right. And you see people that are getting off the plane, and they're all standing there waiting, as the people come down the chutes. And then we see another plane show up that starts skidding to a halt, and it says American Trans Air. That's the name of the airline. This is actually the first time we've seen this plane in the movie. We never saw it in the sky or anything like that. But it goes back to what we were just saying. The plane is skidding to a halt, and there is a police car driving towards it.
it doesn't even seem like it feels like these are planes that are at the end of their landing path. This does not feel like a plane that has finished landing and then it's taxiing to a safe spot. This feels like it is at the end of the runway, which again, that feels more dangerous. I almost wish they would have added just like a little bit extra footage of the plane like taxiing over to a safer spot, like around the corner.
Yeah, but again, nobody really knows where there's a safer spot. So that's part of the problem too.
Especially with snow everywhere. You can't
with snow and gas, no lights. And what about gasoline? There's fuel all over the place. I wonder if they burnt it all. I wonder if it all burnt up, or if parts of it are still lying around there. Because again, as we talked about earlier this week, there's nothing before John. it's John lands exactly at the moment where they actually started. So I don't know, it's a little strange, but that's part of what makes it fun watching movies like this and breaking them down, because you don't necessarily know where things are going and what's going to happen. So I can give them that from that perspective. And then we're back in the control tower. And while we're in the control tower, we see Trudeau and Barnes and the other engineer, still very, very happy about what's going on. And, there's a lot of cheering and hollering going on around there. And then Barnes reaches out and
I believe that this is like the wrap for the control tower. I believe this is the last shot that we get of the control tower in the movie.
That is actually very possible. So they're having a wrap party, is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, they're just, the last shot of them is them, shaking hands. And I do think it's great that, I forget the names of the characters, but
Trudeau and Barnes.
Barnes, yeah, that we end the shot of the control room on Barnes, who is clearly our favorite character.
Yeah, and I mean, I love the way that he just like puts his arm around, like he's looking to get a big shake of hands from Trudeau, and like you know, he puts out both of his hands, and Trudeau puts out one hand to to shake his hand, and then after that, Trudeau puts his arm around him, showing him how he's I guess he appreciates everything they did, even though these people haven't done anything here, at this point in the movie. This is all John. But he claps him on the back, and then we get a shot. It goes back and forth between Barnes and Trudeau, and then as you said, the last shot is Barnes smiling and laughing. Which I mean, I don't know. In real life, do you think people get this ecstatic about things like this, or is it just a movie thing?
I mean, I would think so, because it's kind of like the John McClane laughing on the runway. This is their moment of catharsis. That this is them. It's like, okay, our job is done. This crisis is finally over. Everything, like, we can calm down. It's a job well done. Even though they weren't responsible for anything that happened right there, they did play an active part in the entire movie,
Yeah,
and
of course.
especially Barnes.
Of course. But I mean, have you ever found yourself in a situation in life where you were just shouting and cheering because something went gr so great because you did it? Or does it only happen when you save lives like this?
Thankfully, I've never been in a life-threatening situation that ended on a positive note.
Right. That's true. I mean, you see it a lot of times in movies. I think a perfect example of it is Scent of a Woman. The end of the movie, when they're talking at the tribunal, how all the kids get up and start cheering. And it's like, that doesn't make sense. Why would a bunch of teenagers start cheering the fact that, someone just gave, that Al Pacino gave this powerful speech? Just doesn't work for me. So here also, I don't know. Like, for instance, if you're talking about Apollo 13, I understand why they would all be so happy when the capsule finally hits the water. These are people who really guided them the whole way and stuff like that. Here, I don't know. I think the cheering is a little too much. I understand why it's here. I do. I just don't necessarily think it's right. So I don't know. Who knows? Doesn't matter. This is the way it is. This is the way they made the movie. We have to enjoy it for what it is. So if the people in the control tower want to cheer, let them cheer. Why not? Cheer away, my friends. And then the shot changes, and we're back to the plane itself. The plane looks it looks now as if it's in better shape than it was when it landed. For some reason, you have all the white on top, which is probably like ice that's forming on the top of the plane or something like that. One of the things that Renee Harlin mentions in the commentary is the fact that it was so freaking cold here that every time you see the characters in these scenes where you see their breath, it's real. That's how cold it really was. They didn't need to use special effects for that.
Yeah, it's not until I guess in Titanic they had the CGI breath and parts of
Right.
that because they actually used the same CGI breath in Fight Club.
Ah, really? That's interesting. So Ireland did Fight Club also, or was it not Ireland that did it?
I don't remember now. I just remember that was like a little a tidbit, and like in the fantasy sequence, whenever Edward Norton is in the ice cave with the penguin, the CGI smoke that or the CGI breath that they use, they mention in the behind the scenes that it was the same breath that they created for Jack in Titanic.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I mean, it makes sense. Can't really complain about that way. And
And I feel like these days that a lot you see CGI breath a lot more than otherwise, and I mean I could be wrong, but a lot of times I can look at a scene and my first thought is that that is definitely some CGI breath, and it's not really as that cold. But this one, it's clearly real. Like you said, you can see, especially like coming from John McClane in this moment, it's like that. Looking at that after you said that, it's like, wow, that really has got to be freezing cold.
Yeah. Yep. I think these scenes were filmed in Alpena, Michigan. So that's nice and north up there. You know, we see the passengers still disembarking the plane via the chutes. We have a whole bunch of emergency vehicles that show up. One of the rescue workers, then we hear a lot of talking between the rescue workers and things like that. There you go. That's it. And then we hear the voice of...
And incredibly, everybody is completely running past and ignoring the man that has, the entire side of his face covered in blood and walking, just yelling Holly over and over. And everybody's just running past and ignoring him.
Well, of course. You know, you always stay away from the crazy man, don't you? And then we see the news helicopter come in for a landing. And we then hear Samantha's voice say, "There he is." And then we hear one of the other guys say, "That's it." And then the helicopter starts coming in for a landing. And then we see a lot of commotion, people running around. And then the music changes. We're back to suspenseful Die Hard theme music. And then John holds up his arm and starts calling out for Holly. "Holly! Holly!" He actually says it 5 times in this within 23 seconds. He says it 5 times in this movie, or in this scene. Wow. You know, it's John just walking through the crowd screaming "Holly, Holly, Holly, Holly," which he sort of did that in the first movie also. You know, but at least they keep up the continuity of him holding his arm. You know, where he got stabbed by Stewart. So, mm-hmm. You know, it isn't that he's just faking it. And then we got policemen running back and forth around him, behind him. We see the news people get out of the helicopter. And, John is just still looking for Holly, just screaming, "Holly, Holly, Holly." And then we see that she actually appears in the doorway of the plane. And do you think she hears her name, or is she just looking around?
I would think at this point she probably wouldn't. I mean, she might be able to hear him, but with all the other noise, she might not be able to make out that it's somebody screaming "Holly" yet, just because of how far away she is. And you would imagine that you got all the sirens running and the plane noise is still going. It's probably, for someone actually being there, it's probably quite loud. And also the fact that she's still, for most of it, was kind of inside the plane, so the plane probably blocked out a little bit of the sound as well until she got fully outside of it.
Right, that's true.
And I also like the fact that this shot of the doorway, it's a very nice reminder of, these are all the characters that we remember from the plane. We got the two stewardesses, Holly, and then her seatmate, the old
woman.
That's
right. Well, one of the stewardesses here is a third stewardess. We only see her once when she sees him eating Jacine Thornburg and Victor eating peanuts. You know, the second stewardess who was talking about bimbos in the sky doesn't appear here. Mm. You know, we don't get this here. Now, did you notice that there's like a little plaque? Do you notice there's a little plaque right next to, on the left-hand side of the screen, next to the stewardess?
I didn't notice it, but I do see it. Okay. Now.
Can you read what it says?
No, on my screen, it's too small to read.
Okay, so it says, "Restore handle immediately after door opens." Okay. There's only one problem here. They misspell the word "restore." It says R-E-S-T-O-R. They're missing an E. I like catching them.
And I also feel like it doesn't make sense that that would be on the outside of the plane either.
No, but is this the door? Does the door swing around when you open it? I always thought it does, but I'm not sure. You know, like you, I thankfully have never been in a plane where I needed to exit this way. So I'm a little unfamiliar I mean, again, we see it in movies and that's it. And actually, okay, you don't see any doors here. If you see
Yeah, whenever they do,
the doors are on the inside.
yeah, the door opens straight up, and the door would be inside the plane.
Right. Correct. So yeah, you're right. It makes absolutely no sense that there would be a plaque there. I don't know what they're telling, because you do see a handle above the mark, but you know what the handle is for, I don't know. Not really sure, because I don't think you're there. You're reaching behind to go, play with the handle at that point. And then as Holly is standing in the doorway, the minute ends. Do you have anything else you want to say about the particular minute?
I mean, it's just nice that we do get to see that main stewardess again, because she's been a fun character throughout the movie. So again, this is kind of like this is her final moment, I
Yes.
believe. You know, we get one more moment with the old lady, but this is the stewardess's final moment.
Yes, and the funny thing is when we looked her up months ago when we first started this, so the question was is okay, who is she and what else has she done? And it turns out that she's a producer.
Interesting.
Her name is Sherry Bilsing, and she was a producer on Friends. She produced 113 episodes of Friends.
Wow.
Yeah, and all 23 episodes of Joey. And yeah, she's had some. She also was the producer on The New Adventures of Old Christine, Julie Louis-Dreyfus. So she produced 43 episodes of her also. So I found it very interesting. And the second stewardess, that the one that is not here that we get to see, she actually plays Phil's wife in City Slickers. The one he ends up getting divorced from. That they're fighting at the birthday party. I don't know how familiar you are with the City Slickers, but yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
So the script here is very quick. We just have the three times that John screams at Holly, and that's it. Nothing else is described here. All the rest they decided just to work around it. So every Thursday I have a segment called Aviation Thursday, where my guests will talk about their five favorite movies that are somehow connected to aviation. Why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
Sure, I think I will go at least somewhat in order of how much of the movie involves planes, but because I think I would rank most of them pretty equally, although my number five I would probably rank a bit higher, but I'm keeping it a bit low just because it doesn't it's more tangentially related to planes, and that's Catch Me If You Can.
Okay.
That
It's
is
been
a
chosen
fan.
before. You're not the first person to want to have it on your list. Someone actually put it as a three. It was their number three. So.
Yeah, I love that movie, and it's just so much fun, and it's well made and very entertaining. And then my number four is another Tom Hanks movie, and again, I feel like this deals a little bit more with planes, but it's mostly the first act, and that's Castaway. You know, it has a fantastic plane crash
Yes.
in that first act. My next one is, you know, my top three are, you know, heavily related to planes. So these are going to be more in order of how much I enjoy them. I'll put my number three is Top Gun. I was a latecomer to this movie. I watched it for the first time for to guest on Top Gun Minute. So I
Really?
had only
Wow.
just, yeah, I had only just watched that for the first time just last year.
Wow.
So, but it's a great movie. I mean, you know, everybody knows it's a great movie. I don't have to go into that. My number two, I haven't seen this in a while, but I really enjoyed it, and that's Red Eye. That's the thriller with Cillian Murphy and Rachel McAdams. That's really great. I love just it, the that's a great thriller, you know, and set on, you know, just the idea of it being in this situation whenever you're in a public space and you have to hide the fact that you're in this situation as much as possible. And then going in a complete 180 from that movie, my number one is Airplane. I just, that's, you know, I love the, these spoof movies. I love the concept of the spoof movies, at least, you know, pre scary movie, all the ZAZ movies and the Mel Brooks. Mm-hmm. And I would say Airplane is still the number one for me. That I just love that movie. I've watched it probably last time maybe 5 years ago, and it's still just hilarious. I love every minute of it.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It really is. All right, so since you're unfortunately not able to join us tomorrow, so we're going to actually do Friday segment for you today also. And so the Friday segment is where are they up to this weekend? Okay, so basically the concept here is for me to test my guests' memories of some of their favorite movies. So, you know, as you've mentioned all week, Bubba has done numerous movies in MXM style, or, you know, breaking them down in some way or another. And let's see how good you remember how well you remember those movies. So okay. Right now we just finished minute 1 hour and 50. We've gone through 1 hour and 54 minutes of this movie. Okay. So what is happening in Groundhog Day at the 1 hour and 54 minute mark?
Well, that would be whenever you're in your car driving home from the theater.
That is
because correct. That movie's only 100 minutes long.
That is correct. That is definitely correct. Okay. You see, I was trying to stump you on that. So I'm glad that you were able to get out of that one. Okay. So let's go on to the next one. Memento. What is happening in Memento at the 1 hour and 54 minute mark?
Oh, that, I know that movie is just over 2 hours long. So that would be the, like, right near the end of the movie. So I believe my guess would be that's when Leonard is driving in his car and doing his, you know, internal monologue about, you know, does the world disappear whenever you close your eyes?
Based on what I see, the movie is only an hour and 53 minutes. So it doesn't reach the 2 hour.
That would be credits.
No, it means the movie's been over for a minute.
So I was okay. Only a couple minutes off.
That's right. That's true. That's right. Again, I'm we do this all for fun. Don't take it personally.
Oh no, of course not. I think it's a little bit different just because I.
You also weren't doing it minute by minute.
I remember the. Yeah.
No, I understand. That's fine. It's you know, most people are not able to guess these. It's rare that people get it directly. I probably wouldn't be able to do it either. You know, so you know, it's all for the fun. And the final one that I'm going to test you on is Fight Club. Okay, and that one you actually are planning on doing minute by minute. So I wonder how much preparation yes. You've done if you know where Fight Club is up to at the 1 hour and 54 minute mark.
Well, that one is just over two. That one is the one that's just over 2 hours. I got it slightly wrong. Well, it's just under 2 hours.
It's 2 hours and 19 minutes. So Fight Club.
Yeah. So that would be, I want to say that would be maybe around the fight between the narrator and Tyler. Like I want to say around the time whenever he's like throwing himself down the stairs with the like the security cam footage.
No, it's actually the scenes where he's in the motel, or the hotel room, where the two of them are arguing.
So yeah, just a few minutes before that.
Yes, exactly. Okay, sorry to have disappointed you, Bubba.
No, I'm actually pretty happy with how close I came.
There you
it's go. Not like I was way off.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. It's not like you're going to say, oh, that's the first time that they get into the Fight Club. Oh, okay. Exactly. All right. Very good. So why don't you, once again, for a final time this season, tell people where they can find you.
Sure. I'll go back to It's Time to Rewind. That's kind of my main project. That's the one that I've spent the most time on. There's over we're nearing to 200 episodes of that show, and that's going scene by scene. And we are 5 seasons in. The first season we covered Groundhog Day. The second season I covered several episodes of The Twilight Zone. The third season I covered the movies Triangle, Time Crimes, and Time Loop. The fourth season I covered episodes of Buffy and Angel. And the fifth season I did Memento, and then kind of spun that off on the, similar but opposite movie of 50 First Dates, since they both deal with the same type of brain injury.
All right, great. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcast you might be using to listen to the show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. You can find me on Facebook, and you can find me on X/Twitter. So, Bubba, thank you very much for joining me. I had a great time. I hope you did, too.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
And just a reminder to everybody, I will be back tomorrow with a different guest, and we will be here all weekend. And next week also. We will be doing two weekends. So we got episodes on Saturday and Sunday this week, and then next week we will have the final two episodes also on Saturday and Sunday in order to be able to start season 6 right before Halloween. Even though there's absolutely no connection to Halloween from that movie. just randomly happened at that time. Till tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay!
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little villages,